Okay. Is this working? Yes, it's working. Excellent. Anyone recognize the place? Okay, clearly you guys haven't spent enough time in Siberia. So this is Krasyonask in Siberia. Fine. There we are. So you might have heard of the term reflection. Reflection is used in various languages to describe the process of taking an object and asking questions about it, like, what methods do you have? What do you inherit from? What attributes do you have? And so forth. Now, that's kind of nice and kind of useful. You might have also heard of the idea of meta-objects. And if you've played with Perl 6 a bit, or seen people doing bits of stuff with meta-objects in Perl 6, you might think that, oh, it's all about introspection. What I want to sort of do in this talk is just sort of unpack a little bit, and that's only part of the story. You know, this bit of reflection in this image that I had on my front slide is actually only part of the image. Meta-objects are simply objects that tell you how other objects work. So they're not just about introspection, they're actually the way that we implement classes, roles, grammars, and so forth. So you can actually define the behavior of a class in its meta objects. Now this sounds kind of really clever, but actually it's easy. And what I kind of just want to do in this talk is show you that we could actually write an implementation of classes during this talk. Now, the thing is that I can't type and talk at the same time. So what I've actually done is pre-type the code, but I hope you'll agree with me when you get through this that we actually could have sat here and typed this code in 15 minutes. So implementing classes and actually implementing the semantics of classes is just as simple as writing some methods. So the way this works is almost event-based. So let's just take a simple little class. So here's a nice class defining stroke waffles. My favorite example, as always. So if we look at what happens when we do this, well, when we get to this point in the code, we say, oh, we have a new type. We know it's a class, and we know what it's called. So we're going to call a method on the meta object called newType to actually build us a new type object. Then we see that we're inheriting from something. So we're going to call a method called addParent. When we get to the attribute, we're going to call a method called addAttribute. Okay, you start to get the pattern now. We add a method. So every time we see something declared in our class or about our class, we're just calling a method to say to the meta object, do whatever adding a method or adding an attribute or adding a parent means to you. And then when we finally get to the end of this class definition, we call compose. And compose just means we're finished. Do any of your final bits and pieces you want to do when the class is completely declared. So all we have to do to implement classes is write some methods called things like new type, an add method, an add attribute, and compose. So these methods are actually really easy to write. So the idea of the new type method is it just makes us a new type object. Now, this method, it's just called new type. You'll just see it's a completely normal method. And what it does is it optionally, it takes a name parameter. But if we don't give a name, we'll just say it's anonymous. And then we have this curious thing called the representation. Now, in Perl 6, and probably in the odd other language as well, we have this thing called representation polymorphism. Representation is all about how the object is allocated and stored in memory. So the representation takes care of actually allocating our object sort of physically in memory, getting a little bit of space, and deciding where our attributes live in memory. This is really nice because it's a point of decoupling. It means that we can write an implementation of classes that have attributes without having to worry about writing all of the sort of low-level allocation-y stuff ourselves. So we sort of saved that job at least. So all we have to do is just create a new instance of this object itself, which is our meta class. This is, we've actually created the meta object, And then we're just going to return a new type object. So we're just going to say, I want to have a type object that is based on this meta class and this representation. We essentially make a pairing of the two. So essentially we're saying, give me back a type object that represents a class with this behavior and where the objects are laid out in memory according to this representation. So that's the trickiest part. Actually, that's the hardest thing that we're going to do in this talk. That's the hardest bit to understand. Methods are dead easy. Why? Well, because all methods really need is a hash. So we're just going to have a hash table here, a hash attribute. Okay, that's the exclamation mark there is in Perl 6. And then we'll just write a method called addMethod. It gets passed the name of the method, and it gets passed a code reference. All we do is make sure that we haven't seen that method before. Otherwise, we'll just complain, oh, you duplicately defined a method. And then we'll just add it to the hash table. That's it. That's our way of handling adding methods to a class. Attributes is quite similar. The thing about attributes is that they actually, you have what you call a meta attribute. You have an object that represents an attribute. Because attributes have a name, they have types, they have default values, they probably have other bits as well. And when we add an attribute again, we just have a hash of attributes keyed on name because it's very convenient. We say, has an attribute called this already been added? And if it has, we die. Otherwise, we put it in the table. Okay? Inheritance. So what we're going to do with inheritance, we're just going to implement single inheritance here. This is one of the first points where you might look at this and say, oh, we really have a choice about what we do. Now, what you might have noticed is that, you know, when we did methods, we could actually have just decided to warn here instead of die. So you can sort of see that you get all kinds of possibilities to sort of define your class system's behavior here. Here?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why? You drop the parents, but you make the braces required. It's ugly.
Yeah. You always would have parents. You only have, I mean, having braces on an if statement is a common case. If you don't want to write those, then you can always just write an and or something like that. There's plenty of other ways to write it. So. Anyway, if we just use has, and we'll just one of the problems with type objects is that they're undefined. So we have to be a little bit careful with them. We can't just use our undefinedness check. So we'll just say, yeah, we've set the parent. So all we're doing here is getting a parent added. We're getting the parent class. We're saying if we already had one, then we'll just die and say we're doing single inheritance. You can only have one parent. And there we are. We'll just add the parent and set that to 1. So this is kind of straightforward so far. Note, if we wanted to do multiple inheritance, we'd just have an array and push the parent onto the array. So far, we've got our attributes and our methods and our parent added. When we've finished, we then have to do some composition. Now, one of the things we have to do is give the attributes a chance to compose themselves. The reason we do this is because attributes might want to do some work like generate an accessor method. So if an attribute has sort of been declared as having an accessor, this is its chance to actually go and do that little bit of work. We use it for quite a few different things in Perl 6. It handles the handles delegation stuff as well. So that's easy enough. That's just a loop over all the attributes. The trickier thing we need to do is compute something called the method resolution order. The method resolution order is a list of classes that we walk through when we actually want to compute, when we actually want to find a method. So this is a list that we're just going to walk through of all the classes in the inheritance hierarchy. Now, this is actually quite easy in single inheritance because you just follow the chain. So when we, that's what I just said. So to do this, we're going to just want to have a method that exposes the parents. So we'll do that. And the API that we've sort of laid down is that parents should return a list. So we're just going to return an empty list if there's no parent set and a list with the one parent if there is it. And then computing the MRO is easy enough. So we create a list which is going to contain it. We start off with a list containing this class. We then go through all of our parents. We take that list. Of course, we're in it the first time, so we put ourselves on the MRO. And then we look at what is its parents. And eventually, this list will terminate because there'll be something without a parent at the top of the class hierarchy. So as you can see, this isn't actually that complex an algorithm. Question?
You said a list of this class, but isn't this a method in the meta class object?
Oh, do you mean that self there?
Yeah,
that self should have been obj. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Very well caught. Yeah, sorry. Yes, that's the meta class. It should have been the type object. Yeah. Unlike the others, they didn't have an example to steal this from because we do multiple inheritance in Perl 6. So, yeah. So, finally, we actually want to be able to call methods. That's sort of the last thing we want to do now. So, we just need to make the table of methods available. We'll just write a little accessor method to do that. The reason that we do this is because, you know, if we have different meta classes and meta class types, we want to have them all following the API and talking to each other in terms of API. Finally, this is our method for doing a method dispatch. So we loop over the method resolution order. So this is going to be starting at the most derived class, the subclass, and walking up to each parent. We'll then see if we'll get the method table. We'll see if there's a method inside that table. If there is, we'll return it. And if not, we'll return a null as sort of a sentinel value saying there was no method. And that's pretty much it. At this point, we've written enough code to have methods and this method dispatch, attributes, and single inheritance. And that's all the code we have to write to actually implement that functionality. Well, nearly. This is good enough, and it would actually work. This is actually something very much like what I started out with. We have missed a few things out, so we haven't completely filled out all of the introspection API. And then if you think about this bit of code, this isn't very efficient. This is sort of the really naughty way to do method dispatch. It's obviously correct, but it's going to be really slow. So what we actually want to do is publish a method cache, which is going to let us do really fast lookups without having to go and do this method call. Because if you think about the way meta objects work, you get into this interesting chain where to call a method, we need to call a method to find the method that we're going to call. And this has to bottom out at some point. We also would need to do isA and can methods as well. But really, that's pretty much all there kind of is to it. So if we just go and look at a very real example, this is actually the way that we implement classes in something we call NQP, which is a subset of Perl 6 that we use for implementing the rest of the compiler in. And you'll see that a lot of it's very familiar. It has attributes, it has methods. It has to take care of multi-methods as well, which adds a bunch of complexity because of the way multi-methods work. We won't go into that. We could spend a few hours on that one. And it also handles some roles as well. But if we look down this, we'll see that we have our new type method here. And that's exactly what we saw before. We have add method. You'll see it's doing the same kind of thing. Add multi method is also, you know, but as you can see, this is all the bunch of methods that we've seen beforehand. And yep, this is actually real working code. This is how method dispatch works. Actually, this is the version of it that runs on the .NET Common Language runtime as well. There's a version of this that looks virtually identical, apart from a few differences, that runs on top of Parrot. And the goal is that this will be write once, run everywhere. And we're actually really close to that. So that's very nice.
Why is the top object being called mu?
The top object is called mu because Larry said so. No, it's related to being the sort of sense of emptiness. And it also stands for most undefined or something like that. There's a, if you look at the Perlsic spec, there's a list of about 7 reasons why this name isn't silly. But it's up to you whether you believe them or not. Anyway, thank you, Val. And any more questions? One at the back.
I notice you're using things like classes and methods to implement things like classes and methods. Isn't that kind of strange and loopy?
Yes. Okay, so what you maybe didn't notice in this one... yeah, it's actually a know-how. This one is actually just a very... It's a type of object that is about as simple as idea of object you could possibly get. It's just a pure prototype, we call it. So it's something that knows how to have methods and knows how to have attributes, and that's it. It has no idea what inheritance is or anything like that. So that's how we get away with it here. What we actually do for the Perl 6 level meta model is we actually build it in terms of stuff defined in NQP. So we actually factor the Perl 6 meta model in terms of roles, which then get composed into meta classes. So if you think about roles and classes and grammars and so forth, they all have methods. So we factor out what it means to have methods into a role, which means that we'll, along the way, be building a library of building blocks that people who write their own meta objects can also use.
I also saw best practices mentioned today for Perl 6 already.
Yes.
Can you show the last slide again?
Yes. Which one?
No, that one.
Oh, this code?
You've got a name with underscores and a name with minus, dashes.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah, that's not a best practice.
There's no reason behind that?
There's absolutely no reason behind it. It's to be honest, this was code that I was writing. This is probably the first meta object I wrote while I was writing the meta object framework. It's sloppiness, but my excuse is I was thinking about harder things.
I should add that I'm not entirely certain about dashes versus underscores, and I didn't promote that aspect as a best practice.
But as it is in one subroutine, I thought maybe you promote dashes as something more global than underscores or other way around.
I would say the jury is still out on that one.
I'm not sure why I went for one in one case. I think part of it is an internal conflict of my own where I'm still not sure what I actually like more. I'm very open to being persuaded in various directions. I don't know. When I write the hyphens in there, I almost look at it and think, oh, it looks like I've written Lisp in Perl 6 or something.
But it's twice as cheap. You don't have to press shift.
It is. That's a good... only on this keyboard layout. I'm sure that's not true for everyone. Yep. Was there a question on the front?
No, I had exactly the same question. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. Any more? Okay, and I should add that I've been talking about this in the context of Perl 6. But if you've sort of got a grasp of these concepts, then you probably have also got a much better grasp of how Moose also works on the inside now as well, because it's also based around the idea of meta object protocols. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Al.
Thank you. We have a short break. And we have a break for, what is it, 20 minutes, I think? Yeah, let's make it 20 minutes. I'll put up the whiteboard where you can add for the birds of a feather. We also have a few minutes for lightning talks on the schedule. But as I discovered, we don't have, it's called Blixensprach. We don't have any lightning talks. If you know it, what you do?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. All right. So we have lightning. We have lightning talk, no problem. Enjoy your break.